Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia. Today begins the 6 weeks since the 1st of January, where many of us made New Year's resolutions. How are you doing with yours? Statistically, we see that an overwhelming majority of people that make New Year's resolutions within 1 week will disregard or deny those resolutions that they make. Well, I hope that you're doing well with the resolutions that you made. Today, we have a couple of new listeners that I'd like to recognize. One is a very fine lady that works at the Walgreens Pharmacy. In fact, she's the manager of the pharmacy in Sun City for Walgreens. Her name is Taruna, and she's just always so pleasant and kind. And I'd just like to thank you, Taruna, for listening to us on this radio program, and I hope that you have a great day. The other is more of a different kind of a story. At least it is in my experience. I called to get some help with regard to my AOL account. Certainly that's not different. But during the process, there were several long periods of time, maybe 5 or 10 minutes periods of time, where we were waiting for the computer to do something with the instructions that it was given. And I had an opportunity to talk to this young lady who I found out lives in Central Europe. And she was just a very interesting young lady to talk to. She's going to graduate from college this year with a degree in languages. And while we were waiting, I showed her how to get onto the Monte Vista Church of Christ website and how to go into the archival portion of that website to select certain shows that she might be interested in listening to, and she told me that she would be listening to this show, and I wanted to greet her also. You know, when the Bible says go into all the world and teach the gospel, I never in my younger years took that going to all the world very, very seriously, but now with the advent of the internet services like that, you can take the message of Jesus Christ into all of the world, and it is such a great message. For the past several weeks, we've been studying the subject of final things. Things not to be altered or undone. We studied about the judgment. Certainly that's a final thing. And whether or not you and I look forward to standing before Jesus Christ, our Lord, in judgment and receiving an answer for those things that we decide to do in life, whether that's a positive feeling to us or a negative feeling really depends on how we live our life, doesn't it? So perhaps when we study about judgment, it incited us to live a little closer to the way that the Lord wants us to live. Then we looked at the subject of hell. That's not a pleasant subject. It's a place designed for those who decide to do it their way instead of the Lord's way. And it's described with such terrible graphic pictures in the Bible that certainly if we allow our mind to contemplate the seriousness of spending eternity in such a place, it will, in fact, alter our behavior. Today, I wanted to talk to you about the third final thing in our series of final things, and that's heaven. As bad as hell is to look at, heaven is good to look at. I read some information concerning the Oklahoma Territory. That territory that opened up in 1901. That'd be 111 years ago now, wouldn't it? It was a wild and unsettled territory. There were settlers that lived in shanties and dugouts that you can see pictures of. There were no roads or trees or streams. It was really a far cry from the east where many of those settlers came from. And during that period of time, those settlers would get together and they would share their loneliness. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Getting together with someone to share your loneliness. They'd sing songs about home, and there would be pictures of these big, strong, burly men that were shedding tears, that were crying when thinking about the home they left to come to this new territory. They would go house to house when they got a letter from somebody back home, and they would share the news of home with their neighbors. And things from home would be prominently displayed in their huts. You see, those people were homesick for heaven. Indeed, you and I, the more we learn about this final thing called heaven, the more we'll want to get there. In Acts, the first chapter and verse 10, the Bible has some very interesting information. There we read, "And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was departing, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them, and they also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.'" That gives us hope, doesn't it? That allows us to read John, the 14th chapter, verse 2 and 3, with a special kind of an attitude. There Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We may have a native land, and I'm sure each of us know our native land. My native land would be the United States of America. That young girl with whom I spoke the other night concerning a computer problem's homeland is Central Europe. We have our native lands, our homelands, but our citizenship is in heaven. In Philippians, the third chapter and verse 20, the Bible says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Have you ever contemplated where your final destiny is? When it seems like evil will win, when we look all around us and we see dark and depressing things, when we suffer grave illnesses or we suffer the loss, the separation of dear friends and relatives, when it just seems like the bad is bigger than the good, we need to recognize in those times where home is. And when we recognize where home is, we can find comfort even in times of terrible loss. Note, if you would, the words of the Apostle Paul to the people in Thessalonica who had lost loved ones. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 14 through 18, those words are recorded. If you have your Bible, take it out for me now and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, and I want to read verse 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of God, that we who are alive will remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We're talking earlier about those territorial settlers in 1901 in the Oklahoma Territory, how they would get a message from home and they would go door to door and share the events of home that were written in that letter, and they did that to comfort one another. And we are told by the Lord to comfort one another with the thoughts of heaven. We sing songs about heaven. Oftentimes we do at the worship services in the Church of Christ that meets at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. Home of the soul, we sing about. That's heaven. Let's note for a minute the attitudes of some of the Bible heroes at the end of their life on the earth. We study a lot about their life, about their amazing accomplishments. Let's take a look at their attitude at the end of their life. The Apostle Paul said, and it's recorded in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." That doesn't sound sad to me. That sounds like Paul is looking forward to something. Isn't that the way that it sounds to you? Then there's the Apostle John. In Revelation, the 22nd chapter, in verse 20, a very short but very impactful statement. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming quickly.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." John was ready for the Lord to come, wasn't he? I hope that we're ready for the Lord to come. Then there's James. In James, the 5th chapter, verses 7 and 8, we read, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." We need to put those things in place in our life that will strengthen our hearts. The Apostle Peter had something to say late in his life that would concern us. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." I heard it said one time that not so many songs are written about heaven anymore. I wonder why. I wonder if that is not a commentary on our life. I wonder if that's not a statement that we've just got so things good here, that we fail to look forward to that eternity beyond the time of death. Most of the songs that are written concerning heaven were written in times of persecution. And while we certainly are not advocating that terrible times of persecution as the Christians felt in the days of the Roman Empire come again, but we are advocating that we keep that burning desire in our heart for heaven, where Jesus resides, where God resides. And regardless of the comforts that we might have in this life, that we keep a perspective and we keep heaven at the top of our places to go. I'd like to give you some reasons that a person could be in a hurry to get to heaven. First of all, the Bible says in Revelation 21 and verse 1 that heaven is a place with no sea. That's S-E-A. No sea. That's odd, isn't it? Lots of times I think about the Pacific Ocean and how my wife and I would walk along the beaches of Southern California, and the ocean was peaceful and almost hypnotic. We would sit for hours and watch the waves as they broke one after another. But to ancient mariners who were on the open seas and had no chart or compass, the sea was a terrible thing. It was a terrifying thing. So when in Revelation, the 21st chapter, we read that there's no sea in heaven, we're talking about the terror that comes to man's heart in dangerous things, and there's no fear in heaven. There's nothing to fear in heaven. There's nothing from Satan in heaven. Well, another reason why we might look forward to heaven is it's a place of no pain. I recall my parents as they were living when their voices were clear, and then as they grew older and approached the time of death, their voices wavered. I remember when their ears were sharp and their listening and their hearing skills were just absolute. And I remember at the time near the end of their life where their hearing skills were dull and they lost track of many things because of not being able to exercise their senses the way they could when they were younger. I remember my parents when their bodies were once able for my dad to work hard, and he did work hard, able for my mom to be a great housekeeper and just have so much energy to share with people and to give to the Lord through worship. And I remember when those bodies started to decay and my parents felt depressed over the things that they couldn't do. But in heaven, there's no pain, there's no sickness. And in heaven, there's no death. There's not people that come to our mind that we can't talk with. People that are gone from this earth. No more funerals. No more open graves. In heaven, there is no death. Revelation 21 and verse 4 assures us of that. In the same chapter and verse in Revelation, we see that there's no mourning and there's no crying in heaven. There's no parents grieving over rebellious children. There's no betrayal from friends that cut so deep into our hearts. There's no husbands and wives hurting one another. There's no shattered dreams. There's no ambitions that have been lived for but yet failed to achieve. Not in heaven. Heaven will not be a place of mourning or crying. Then the Bible says something that's sort of a puzzling comment at first. It says, in heaven there's no temple. Chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 22. What does that mean, there's no temple? How can that incite us to want to go to heaven? Well, in the Old Testament, God dwelled in a temple, and that's where man went to worship him. In the New Testament, there's no temple, but our worship is still hampered by the limitations of flesh and a worshiping spirit. But in heaven, there's no temple. There, our spiritual existence is not hampered by time or matter. We'll bask in the glory of I Am, and we'll do that fully and completely in heaven. In heaven, there's no sun and there's no moon, no sundowns, no gloomy days, no shadows, because God is light and He's bright enough to illuminate the entire place called heaven for an eternity. In heaven there is no night, according to Revelation 21 and verse 5. Night in our culture is a time when evil flourishes, where we lock the doors and we bar the windows, but in heaven there's no locks and there's no bars. There's no need for a security system or police protection, because in heaven there is no night, and all things are good, and the light of God illuminates all things all of the time. In heaven, there is no shut gates. Ancient cities were built on hills oftentimes, and they were surrounded, the bigger of the cities, they were surrounded by walls. At night, they had gates in those walls, and at night those gates were shut. During wars, those gates were shut to provide protection for the people that lived in the cities. But in heaven, there is no enemy to keep out, and there is no rebel to keep in. No shut gates in heaven. Revelation 21, verse 25. In heaven, there is no sin. The fruit of sin surrounds us. The devil has won his battles many times. We see almost on a daily basis, more than we should, lies and gossip and homes that split up, abuse of children and of mates, all those things, consequences of sin. The devil, the Bible says, prowls. He prowls like a roaring lion, seeking those that he may devour. It's a powerful entity, the devil, but he won't be in heaven. No sin in heaven. There's no curse in heaven, Revelation 22 and verse 3. The curse that we have studied about before in this Bible radio show of Adam and Eve, because they chose to follow the way of Satan rather than the way of God, that curse, it will be lifted. No toiling for necessities, no tired feelings. A new Eden, a tree of life, joy, beauty, peace. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Heaven is a wonderful place. I'm glad that it's a final place. I'm happy that those who live in such a way as to be rewarded with heaven don't have to look forward to another world or another place. For it will be perfection. That's a word, that's a concept, perfection, that it's hard to wrap the human mind around, isn't it? Because there is no perfection here. Those things that were perfect as God created them in the garden became decayed because of sin, the consequences of sin. But as I look forward to heaven, I look forward to a place where not only can I be with God and those wonderful souls who have gone before. I look forward to being there without the bounds of time with you. I hope that so to speak, we live on the same street, and that we're able to enjoy one another's company as we surround the throne of God and sing praises to His name forever. Those kinds of thoughts will allow me to live a better today than I lived yesterday. The trick is keeping them before our minds. Well, that's the end of the study of final things. For the next three programs, you'll have a different teacher. His name is Alan Greeley. Alan Greeley is such a talented young preacher. He preaches for the Church of Christ in Prescott, but he spends his weeks down here in the valley, and we're able to see him here at the Monte Vista Church of Christ and worship on Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings, and he's just such an inspiration to me. And he's going to present the next three lessons on this program. That will be the second, third, and fourth Sundays in the month of February. You'll be blessed if you tune in to hear the messages from Brother Greeley. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.